I thought of us standing in line at Thrill Village, Jean and Alan Parker, a big woman with dark patches of sweat around the armpits of her sundress and her little boy. She hadn't wanted to stand in that line. Staub was right about that. But I had pestered. He had been right about that, too. She had swatted me, but she had stood in line with me, too. She had stood with me in a lot of lines, and I could go over all of it again, all the arguments, pro and con. But there was no time. "Take her," I said as the lights of the first house swept toward the Mustang. My voice was hoarse and raw and loud. "Take her, take my ma, don't take me." I threw the can of beer down on the floor of the car and put my hands up to my face. He touched me then, touched the front of my shirt, his fingers fumbling, and I thought, with sudden, brilliant clarity, that it had all been a test. I had failed, and now he was going to rip my beating heart right out of my chest, like an evil djinn from one of those cruel Arabian fairy tales. I screamed. Then his fingers let go. It was as if he changed his mind at the last second, and he reached past me. For one moment, my nose and lungs were so full of his deathly smell that I felt positive I was dead myself. Then there was the click of the door opening, and cold, fresh air came streaming in, washing the death smell away. "Pleasant dreams, Al," he grunted in my ear, and then pushed. I went rolling out into the windy October darkness with my eyes closed and my hands raised and my body tensed with a bone-breaking smashdown. I might have been screaming, I don't remember for sure. The smashdown didn't come, and after an endless moment, I realized I was already down. I could feel the ground under me. I opened my eyes, then squeezed them shut almost at once. The glare of the moon was blinding. It sent a bolt of pain through my head. One that settled not behind my eyes, where you usually feel pain after staring into an unexpectedly bright light, but in the back, way down low, just above the nape of my neck. I became aware that my legs and bottom were cold and wet. I didn't care. I was on the ground, and that was all I cared about. I pushed up on my elbows and opened my eyes again, more cautiously this time. I think I already knew where I was, and one look around was enough to confirm it. Lying on my back in the little graveyard at the top of the hill on Ridge Road. The moon was almost directly overhead now, fiercely bright, but much smaller than it had been only a few moments before. The mist was deeper as well, lying over the cemetery like a blanket. A few markers poked up through it like stone islands. I tried getting to my feet, and another bolt of pain went through the back of my head. I put my hand there and felt a lump. There was sticky wetness as well. I looked at my hand. In the moonlight, the blood streaked across my palm looked black. On my second try, I succeeded in getting up and stood there, swaying among the tombstones, knee-deep in mist. I turned around, saw the break in the rock wall and Ridge Road behind it. I couldn't see my pack because the mist had overlaid it, but I knew it was there. If I walked out to the road in the left-hand wheel rut of the lane, I'd find it. Hell, would likely stumble over it. So here is my story, all neatly packaged and tied up with a bow. I had stopped for a rest at the top of this hill, had gone inside the cemetery to have a little look around, and while backing away from the grave of one George Staub, had tripped over my own large and stupid feet, fell down, banged my head on a marker. How long had I been unconscious? I wasn't savvy enough to tell time with the changing position of the moon with to-the-minute accuracy, but it had to be at least an hour. Long enough to have a dream that I'd gotten a ride with a dead man. What dead man? George Staub, of course. The name I'd read on a grave marker just before the lights went out. It was the classic ending, wasn't it? Gosh, what an awful dream I had. And when I got to Lewiston and found my mother had died? Just a little touch of precognition in the night. Put it down to that. It was a sort of story you might tell years later, near the end of a party, and people would nod their heads thoughtfully and look solemn. And some dinkleberry with leather patches on the elbows of his tweed jacket would say, "There were more things in heaven and earth than were dreamed of in our philosophy, and then..." Then shit, I croaked.